Guys, I'm BW. I have won 3 majors in CSGO, and this is Thor's YouTube channel.
Use your mouse and lift your esports betting game with Esports Bet, because when you play for free, you can't lose. Obviously, I've mentioned in the past, Esports Bet used to have DJT, didn't they? A free token that you could get by just logging in. Well, now they have ESC, they've rebranded it, and you can actually get a whole bunch of this for free via a bunch of social media / online promotion. So what you do is, if you go and you follow Esports Bet, just at Esports Bet on Twitter, you can get 5,000 ESC for free. If you follow them on Instagram, esportsbet.io, you can get 5,000 ESC. If you follow them on Discord, as in you go to their Discord, discord.gg/esportsbet, you get 10,000 ESC. And if you write a review for them on Trustpilot, you can actually get, I think, 40,000 ESC or something very impressive, like 20K or something, some massive amounts. You can do any of these and all of them, and basically either contact the mod mail on Discord and say you did it, or contact them via customer support on the website esportsbet.io, and they'll give you the ESC. You can start making bets and predictions. You can also convert it into other cryptocurrencies and win prizes in other cryptos. Right. Obviously, the simultaneously legendary, incredibly decorated, phenomenal player Flusher, but also infamous Flusher, thanks to his persona and some of the things around the lore and the sort of urban legend of who he was, has retired. I think he's 30 years old, and he's just decided after this period in eyeballers with JW, he's one of the people like JW, they never really got back after the online era. They never really got the proper lands and to play. Fnatic obviously changed up the rosters, etc. He's decided to retire, and that's it for Flusher. Maybe there's not going to be a CS2. Maybe he's done playing. His game's not as good anymore. So I thought I'd do this video, but I'll do it in the style of my Who Is series. So people know the Who Is series originally was actually for people from like Source and 1.6, and the idea, assume it was in CS. And then the idea is, when CSGO came out, people are like, who is Neo? Like, who is nothing? You know, these people. And I'll do like a little video where I break it down. On this one, I thought it'll be like a mixture of that, because I thought modern day players, like, remember, unless you saw this guy, was still pretty, like, his teams were pretty good still in 2019, but that's 3-4 years ago at this point in time. So modern day fans, some of them aren't going to know who Flusher is, and they definitely won't know all the ins and outs. They'll just know some of the campfire stories, some of the clips, and that, you know, Fnatic won the majors and all the rest of it. But they won't know how good was he the best, all that jazz. So this one's going to be a breakdown in that sense, and a mixture of celebrating him as well. Although, understandably, this is a part here that maybe he wouldn't want me to talk about, but we'll get into that. So Flusher has retired. His resume is phenomenal. He is a 3-time major champion. Remember, Olaf and Crims joined later. They weren't on the first major. Flusher was there for all of them. He won 3 majors. The only people who have won more majors, by the way, is everyone in Astralis, the GOAT lineup, except Magus. Anyone else, this guy's got the most majors. And for a while, he was sat at the top with the rest of his, with JW and with Pronax. He is a 4-time HLTV MVP winner, including the MVP winner of one of those majors, the ESL1 Cologne 2015 major. He was the MVP of StarLadder Series 10, which wasn't that sick an event. If you go and look, some of the top teams weren't there. He was the MVP of Fragbite Masters Season 3, which was a very stacked tournament, but it was the one where it was online, and then only the top 4 went to the LAN in late 2014, and there was no crowd. Well, I mean, there was people from Fragbite, the website working there, but it wasn't like a big stadium event. And then his 4th MVP was at IEM Katowice 2018, so many years later, and that was a very sick one. Like, that finals performance is baller, the whole event performance, and obviously he carries the 5th map. He's the reason that FaZe didn't win that tournament, basically. Now, it might not sound like much to a modern fan, like, just 4 MVPs. I thought he was some godlike player. Right, understand, only 14... or something like 14 players have more MVPs in the history of CSGO than Flusher. Like, it's actually very rare you win MVPs. I don't think people, you get the odd one or two, because remember, especially with HLTV.org, you used to have to win the event and then stats-wise be the best by their interpretation to win the award. You couldn't do it just off eye test and other factors. So actually, to get 4, very impressive. And by the way, he was playing with Olaf Meister, best player 2015. He's going to take a lot of MVPs, even if you do well. JW, super flashy player. Even Crims, mega workman. At times when he's put up numbers, events you're winning. Like, it's not that easy to win MVPs in this team. This team wasn't like the Device Astralis, where basically, if they win the event, it probably goes to Device. Like, actually, they were sharing them out quite a lot in Fnatic. It's one of the reasons why they're one of the most balanced teams in the history of CSGO. He was a 4-time HLTV top 20 player. In 2013, he was ranked 13th. In 2014, he actually was ranked 2nd. We'll get to that soon. In 2015, he was ranked 5th, so he's twice been in the top 5. And in 2016, he was ranked 10th. So over a three-year span, he was in the top 10. This is all very impressive stuff. I mean, obviously, that's HLTV's opinion. But if I go back and look, I wouldn't have them all those same numbers. But certainly, this is a guy who you can see why they won so many tournaments over that time span. And he was one of the main reasons why. He wasn't the main reason, but we'll get to that. Now, an interesting detail a lot of people don't know is, like basically all the Fnatic players, this guy played 1.6, but he wasn't a pro player. Like, you'd see him at the odd DreamHack in like a random team in just a group stage or the BYOC. And so I've seen him play 1.6, and I've seen all of my stuff play 1.6 in theory, JW's around, but these weren't the players you were paying attention to. They were just another name on a haters gonna hate lineup, or cold frag or something. If it's Pronax, they were just out there. Actually, I guess I'm thinking of like Barbar or something, or Exist or something. These guys, they weren't like differences. People like Pronax and Exist were known players at the end of 1.6. This guy was just some guy in the Swedish scene. He was like 17 to 19 years old. He was just playing in games back then, and he was playing gathers and pickups, and he wasn't known as some top player. By the way, his game definitely was nothing like it later became in CSGO. So CSGO really is where it becomes relevant. But interestingly enough, as you see, notice how in 2013, he's 13th. That's still good, but it's not a mid. That's because in 2013, remember, we had one major that year. It was right towards the end of the year, November, and it was the one won by Fnatic. That was when, and by the way, if it's not for Flusher, I'm telling you right now, they don't win that major. They do not. Because the key thing he did, if you remember, was that mega play where he went through, I think, the window on Dust 2. And he helped them beat NIP in that really close game. Otherwise, NIP 2-0s that final, wins the major. The documentary has the happy ending. And if anything, it'd be quite a fitting period of CSGO. But instead, it's like, oh, are these upstarts? They won the major. Like, Flusher was one of the main reasons why. I know JW won the HLTV MVP. I gave Getright the MVP because I used to give him to speak for a second if I thought they were better. But you could have given it to Flusher too. He was a mega impact player. So it was actually even before winning the major that Flusher already was good. In CSGO that year, the story was the team before it became the core of Fnatic was called Epsilon. And at the time, that was also, by the way, an org that had a lot of play, like a big rip type, an org that had H2K, that had load like sub or tier two or whatever players around and a bunch of people had played in. In that team, I would say before they later got all of my Stain Crimson, him and JW were the star players. Like, JW was the AWPer and he was the Rifler. These were the stars. And famously, they broke out around the summer of 2013, because this is when NIP was still almost unbeatable. They just lost to Virtus Pro with Adren and Dossier. But aside from that, they were winning every other tournament. And they went to DreamHack Summer. By the way, that was the one where they got wrecked by Pimp and Glaive's Western Wolves. And then they survived that miracle game against, like, Team X with, like, Exist doing like some bonkers Dust 2 diffuse or whatever. And they came back and did win this tournament. But crucially, this is the way it went. Back then, you would often at DreamHack Summer simultaneously play another tournament on top of the DreamHack Summer. If you were Swedish, you'd play the Swedish Masters, it was called, which basically, as far as I know, I think the government actually gave the prize pool. So the prize pool is somebody very good, and all the top Swedish players, including Nape and Fnatic, they would all go and try and play. And this was the one where I think it was played late at night before the final of DreamHack Summer. So I think what happened was, in the final of the Swedish Masters, it was quite close from what I remember. I think this is the way around it goes. It was quite close, but NIP won. So everyone's like, oh, who the hell are these Epsilon guys? Basically, Epsilon was the team that became the championship winning, major winning lineup, but with, I think it was Sentries was his name, some like Norwegian player, instead of Pronax, who at the time was off in a different team. He was actually off in his own team with like RDL and people like that. He might even have been in the Team X team I'm talking about earlier that had the close game. I think he was. And so then they'd also shockingly made the final. They'd beaten like Kenny S's LDLC or whatever, who was carrying them. And I think they'd even beaten the Western Wolves team or whatever, whoever they played. Basically, they made the final of DreamHack Summer. They play NIP, but if I've got it the right way around, it was in the final of this tournament that NIP just smashed them, though, because this is like a big stage game. You know, this is like, we haven't had majors yet, so this is like one of the bigger events in the world. And they're also rookies to a massive, bigger final, and then it's NIP. fellow Swedes, Kings of Sweden, people like Get Right and Forest. So NIP wins, but everyone knows, hey, this is a team on the rise. This team's getting good. Later, they get picked up by Fnatic. They don't have Pronax at this point in time. Actually, they had Moddy was their IGL because they kept Moddy in Fnatic from previous lineups. And he was actually IGLing. And famously, that's where another infamous incident, but it wasn't totally to do with Flusher, was at DreamHack Bucharest. In the group stage, they beat NIP on train. But then it turned out that like the overtime settings were the wrong overtime settings. So then they replayed them and then beat them again. And then because the Fnatic players like didn't like the way this was done, or the idea that like they think Nip Newt was the wrong settings, but then they let them play the game. So that it was kind of like an insurance policy. Like if you lose, as they did, then you can go, hey, it was the wrong settings, so we need a reboot. And so what happened famously is they didn't want to shake hands. It's when JW famously did that sort of like elbow to someone and was hated for like 2 years after this, something ridiculous. And so that's actually made Fnatic quite unpopular. And what happened was they won that one, got through. And then I think they just lost in the quarterfinals to like Na'Vi or something like that. I'd have to go back and look. Whoever they played, they just, or maybe it was another Swedish team. It was the one with whatever, Delpan and those guys, Peter. I can't remember which one it was, but basically they got to the round of it, but they didn't go further than that. But you knew, hey, there's real potential in this lineup here. And they've got Moddy now, they've got a real one. Famously, not that long after this, in comes Pronax, who was already known as a good IGL. He was sort of like an MSL snappy, like tier two, like good guy, but he's always getting his players taken, or low tier one or mid tier one from 1.6. And they go to MSI, beat it, and come second to Very Games. And then they go with like, I think they've only had Pronax for like a week and a half, 2 weeks at this point in time. They go to the first major, DreamHack Winter. Famously, how they end up on that side of the bracket, no one knows, because no one had this team as a favourite to win. They were actually the team where everyone thought it was Nip or Very Games for certain. And when they played in the semi-finals, when Nip won, they were like, right, NIP wins the major. But somehow they won the major. So this was obviously the big kickoff. Like, this is what got him to the point where, it's like I said, he had a massive performance in one of the maps of the finals. Like, people knew, hey, this guy's for real. He's legit. And he's got this really weird sort of... I mean, here's the thing. If people are going to call it Get Right, the Grimms or whatever, like this guy also played a very lurky style, but I would say his like kind of like weird style of like how he would like move off pressure or something. It was almost like a little bit of Rat Daughter. If people know the concept of how Alliance would sometimes play in some of the ones where it's like, they just play like kind of a slimy style. They can never quite catch them. They slip through your fingers. They're always doing the timing when you look away for a second and suddenly they're there. The one timing when you couldn't look. Flusher was already good at this. And you could actually see at the end of 2013, like, this guy's actually going to be special. Like I said, him and GW clearly look at the talent. They're the clear talents. Like Schneider had good aim, but it was in aim and go. Devilwalk just looked bad. It was a support player. And Porox was like a low fragging IGL who had a good mid round read. So there was clearly talent there. 2014 is the year that's defined so much of Flusher, but it's actually the year when he even comes second in HLTV rankings. I disagree. I'd have to go back and look at the numbers and who else is there, etc. But he was exceptional. Like, this is his best year, in my opinion. And this is why we actually need to also go into the details, because this is a year where he didn't win a major. He won one in 2013 and then two in 2015. His team was number one by the end of the year after they'd done the shuffle and got Crimson all off in. But this is the interesting detail. Actually, around spring of this year, I remember me and Lurpers especially saying, like, dude, Get Right isn't actually the best lurker anymore. Like, he's still like a top 2-3 player in the world, potentially, him and Sharks and people like that, Kenny S. But you looked at it and it's like, dude, Flusher's actually the best lurker. Like, he's the best support, the best, whatever you want to call that term. He was, at this point, in early 2014, as Fnatic started falling down and they came, like, top 8 in the majors, he was, like, the best player, and he was fragging out as well. He was having really big performances. But the team collapses, and they had to do this big shuffle. By the way, in the three majors of that year, Katowice, Cologne, and DreamHack Winter, the numbers this guy posted are bonkers. We'll get to this later when we talk about the majors, but put it this way, if his team had won these majors, they could have actually, for real, he could have been the MVP of any of these majors. The numbers he puts out of this world. Like, this was his best individual year, in my opinion. He actually was just a master of his game. He's, like, absolutely phenomenal. It's why this leads into some of the infamous element later on. Then came the LGB shuffle, which isn't some sort of political term. It's actually when you had Dennis had already retired, so it wasn't him. You had Olaf Meister and Crims come in, replace Schneider and Devilwalk, and you've made now one of the best lineups of all time. The team immediately became very good. Like, if you don't know, the first two tournaments, they made it to the semi-finals of Gfinity G3, the final of the major, and almost won that. That was the one where Freiburg had to go ham, and NIP was on that crazy miracle run, almost like the universe gave took the major with Fnatic the previous year away, but then gave them their own bullshit one the next year, which is just weird, isn't it? Like, you almost should swap those in history to be more fair, I feel like. And then after that, they just become the best team. They just start rocking out and just winning all the tournaments, but they're famously... Then you go to DreamHack Winter, and then the Flusher clips come out just before that, and everyone hits Flusher and hits on Fnatic, and then they do the boost, and everyone's like, oh, this is outrageous, even though LDLC did their own little boost, and they didn't show Valve their boost, and their boost violated the same rules, and they also won rounds off that, but they only wanted to reset that. People know the story, I've done videos on it. So, the thing is, this is when, as I say, people actually probably didn't know how good Flusher was at this point in time, because they either thought he cheated, or they looked at the flash of JW, or they just hadn't won. At the time, you look at the people who win the tournaments, fans are pretty reductive in how they think. They get a lot of single factor analysis. Then comes 2015, and now the team gets back everything. If they were supposed to win the Cologne one, or the Drip, it doesn't matter, because they win the ASX two majors back to back. I mean, famously, even when Kenny S is the best player in the world, with the highest skill peak we'd ever seen, Fnatic would still beat him, even if he drops a 50 bomb on you, even if that tree exists as outcalling Prolix, they could still win all these tournaments. And that's why at the time they were known as the greatest team in history. And yes, for me, Olaf Mice is the best player and the main reason why. And then you've got Crims is like this incredible, like, consistency and stuff. But I always describe it like this. JW is just a wild card and you just take what you can. He's kind of an up and down player, but then Flusher is one of the players that shores up the floor of the team, and he adds in those impossible rounds and clutches as well. And then Pronax is making great mid-round calls. They're actually, like I say, one of the most balanced great teams of all time. And so obviously this year is amazing, and they won 12 trophies or something, two majors. They were fantastic. They were still a very, even the last major of the year when they were sort of like falling off, the last one with Pronax, they still lost to the champions. It was still only the envious team who won the Clues of Poker who beat them in the round of eight. It was still three maps. Like, these guys were unbelievable. They could steal tournaments even when they weren't the best. And Flush is one of the reasons why. He's still a very good player at this point in time. Then, if you remember, in 2016, you had this weird thing where after the team had, like, fallen off, they did the shuffle with Godsent, where the original three from Fnatic, so you had JW, Pronax, and Flusher, go and make a team, Godsent. Pronax obviously continued this years later. And then they were in that team for a while, and they went to the major, E-League Atlanta, early 2017. Didn't do that well. And then after that, although they did beat Optic, after that, they did the shuffle back and did like sort of a last dance of the 2016 lineup. Now, I've just skipped over that, but we're going to go back to that a second, because there was still that period at the end of 2015, early 2016, remember, where after they get rid of Pronax, they win six tournaments in a row. Few at the end of 2015, few begin of 2016. Some of them weren't all that awesome, but they were the number one team in the world. They were supposed to win MLG Columbus, but then they got beaten by Carrigan's, and then basically it wasn't as good after that. Obviously, all of my dad is injury. Flusher was still a very good player, by the way. Still one of the better players in the world. One of the best, probably the best player in this team when Wolfmeister was out. One of the main reasons they could even still compete and make semis and in finals. And they were still a top team, but they weren't quite as good, and they never got it back again. After they did the Godsent swap, if you remember, they then came back and did the last dance lineup where they ran it back. Now, when he was in Godsent, by the way, Flusher was still a very good player. Like, I actually think he sort of like... He was probably the best player in that team, if I have to look at it. I actually think some of the others had their real issue. I think JW wasn't that good at times. He had the odd times. He was very variable. If people don't know, he's actually one of the reasons why I think Carrigan was kicked out of Astralis. Part of it was the Powerland thing and the fact that like they didn't like his style as much, or they lost confidence. But also, a major thing was, when they played in this tournament, it was WESG, European and CIS finals, there was a match in like the semis or the quarters or whatever, where Astralis plays against Godsent. And Device is having one of his best series ever so far in this tournament. But it goes to a third map. Godsent wins it 16-14. And even though Flush has actually been having a pretty shit tournament, his numbers are like good. He goes absolutely bonkers on map three and basically wins the map for them. Kicks out Astralis, so they're not going to the WSG. And that's basically what ends up getting Carrigan kicked out of. So it's actually interesting that Carrigan came back later and beat the team in... it's the other way around, actually. He'd already beaten them at the major earlier that year. And so I guess later, actually, you'll see how essentially Flusher tortures Carrigan in his career. We'll get to that later. They do the last dance lineup in 2017. They bring back the Dennis lineup. It's not that good. They have the DreamHack summer semis. I did a whole video on this. It really wasn't that great a lineup. Flusher himself wasn't that great in it, even though at times he could be good. In general, this is where year on year it gets worse for Flusher's individual level. I don't think he was as good. I think by the time you get to 2018, I actually thought he was one of the clear players who had fallen off. Him and JW, they were having real problems. Even though, this is how good Flusher was. He actually, out of nowhere, had a crazy throwback tournament. This is why he tortured Carrigan. At IM Katowice 2018. Remember, he won the major in 2013, guys. This is 2018, and he's the MVP of a prestige event. Not a major, but a prestige event. This is the one where people think it's just the Boston Major. Listen, winning the Boston Major probably would have earned a lot of credibility for Carrigan in phase. But this is the one that was the nail in the coffin for my money, with people like Nico and certain other players. If they win this one, I think phase gets a whole new, like sort of 6 month kick in their lifespan. Who knows what happens with some of the other players and if they come back at certain times. This is the one where Flusher himself, single-handedly on map five especially, basically wrecked any dream of a FaZe dynasty. He actually just took care of it himself. Now, speaking of taking care of you, how about the esports bet first time deposit bonus, 50% up to 100 USDT. Now, after Fnatic, because he'd fallen off his game, Flusher left. Was he kicked? Who knows? Was there drama between me and JW on Twitter? Who knows? Let's just say he left, shall we? Because that's the way things go in esports, isn't it? He then eventually joined Cloud9, and they made this really weird international lineup, which had like people like Kiyoshima, Golden, a whole bunch of interesting, good players, and it automatically was still there. And the problem was, initially, they were still working out the lineup, and they had issues with Golden being in and out of the lineup. Even though Flusher himself had been whatever, I actually thought, and he was even early on in Cloud9, then when they started to sort of get a vaguely more solidified lineup, especially going into 2019, he actually got his game back in early 2019. This is when he was actually like fragging out again. He's doing classic Flusher things. He's probably the best player on the team. Him and Keo were basically like, hey, these guys are actually good. Everyone knows Automike was solid. Like, this is when it's like, hey, there's something to this international lineup. But unfortunately, Flusher had a personal tragedy. I think it was that his mum died around this time, which meant he had to go out of the lineup. And then eventually he just went back to Sweden and he got the chance to actually run it back with Fnatic. And when he came back to Fnatic for like the third time in his career, he was a good fragger. He could still do fragging, but he was nowhere near, for me, the impact player he was before. And he'd win the odd clutch, but this team for me was more about like Brawlan, like Golden was doing a pretty decent job. Crims was the best player in the team. JW was up and down. Like, this is when that's the last real run. And unfortunately, you know what, having us having to go online and the whole world shutting down lands killed whatever would have been the end of the Flusher LAN performances, because Flusher's a big LAN player. He plays under pressure. He does the moves that no one else will do when he's scared. So we never got to see what would have happened at that spring major. We don't know, unfortunately. We know that when they went to all the lands, they were coming top four, weren't they? They were doing awesome performances. They'd even won the DreamHack Masters Malmö in late 2019 with this lineup and beaten Vitality. Like, this team, they still had legs in them. They had the right mix of young and old and modern day players and styles with old classic players. So we never really got to see what the end of Flusher's. In some ways, we were cheated out of the end of Flusher's. Like, yeah, you get the jokes, whatever, blah, blah, blah. We all know the old memes. So the online shit killed that. And unsurprisingly, people like Flusher and JW online aren't really going to give a fuck, are they? Because why would they? I don't blame them and Kenny S and Guardian. Look, it'd be nice if you could have kept your game going, but it wouldn't be the same. And I get it that you're like, you played a billion lands at this point in time. It's 2020. As I said, you won them first major in 2013. How long is a career supposed to be? This isn't sports, I'm afraid. It's not, definitely not hockey where you can play 20 years. Like, in esports, you usually get a couple of years where you're at the top. Like, people like Flusher had a very, very long career, a very, very decorated career at that. Then you had the last chances of like being in the Gorillas lineup that didn't really work out. Then he wasn't in that one anymore. Then he came back and did this all Swedish eyeballers lineup with JW, but it's just kind of whatever. And they just went to like Swedish lands, didn't they? So most people probably haven't been following Flusher's game, I'm going to guess, since the LAN period of 2019 going into early 2020. Now, obviously, there's a lot about his game we can talk about. One thing you've got to talk about first with Flusher, actually, is even before, like, champion, and cheating and all, I think, first and foremost, the persona. Now, what's interesting is Swedish players are often quite boring, quite frankly. Like, mate, Olofmeister is one of the best players ever, and he's got a great laugh, and if you put him in a stream with Pasha, it's really funny. But, mate, If I just like, you know, the equivalent of taking the nameplate off. If I could just do like, you know, one of those disguises of like the glasses with the mustache and the thing, like, you just think, if you talk to him all of my, so you just think he was your bloody accountant or something, you know what I mean? Like, or like regional manager, like he's not a super interesting guy. Same with Forrest is just all right. You know, like a lot of these people aren't really like entertainers. Flusher sort of inadvertently or unintentionally became an entertainer, because since people hated on him, he won some fluky tournaments, people thought early. And then people thought he actually cheated, and then people hated his team for doing the boost. This was the guy, in my opinion, who was sort of the heart of Fnatic becoming those lovable villains that would win anyway, even if you booed them. This is the guy who'd just be laughing like, as he wrecked you in the game and on stage and as you booed him, and he just hit the trophy, the check, and fuck right off. This guy's a G. Like, when they tell that story of like, and some of us were thinking of retiring after the boost gate, I'll tell you what, it wasn't fucking Fosher, was it? This guy, he's made a stern of stuff. It's one thing I always respect about him. He never buckled in that sense. So what's funny is I always felt like he almost was one of the guys who could almost get off on the fact he hated him. Like, who gives a shit? I'm just laughing at this shit. I had a bit of a troll persona back then. I could kind of vibe with that. There was also a famous thing he would do to troll people, which is in the warm-up, as we'd be talking on the desk, the analysis desk, and they'd do that sort of B-roll, showing the players like setting up and in aimbots or whatever, or setting the thing. He would famously not warm up, and he'd sit there, and he'd go into his inventory, and he'd just look at his major trophies, spinning, inspecting them, like, yes, I did win three majors, didn't I? Which is just grade A trolling, by the way. And also, it's not like your opponent could do that. He doesn't have three majors there. At this point in time, no one does. It's only Flusher and the gang in Fnatic, the three that have done it, that can do that. Now, I will say, as we get into his game, at the outset, all cards on the table, I'm going to do this on the cheating part too, I think he was an overrated player. I do. I actually think people mistake the concept of star and carry and what the roles are, especially with players like Flusher. Like, for me, what's great about Flusher is he was at one point a star from a carry role, like a supportive lurker role in 2014 and maybe at times in 2015. But for me, in 2015 and on, it's actually a sort of a supportive element, but then also who will occasionally have like the big games, like the majors, and then also just raises the floor and plays a very consistent game. That's what made Flusher excellent. So if you add him to a team with an Olaf at his peak or a Crims, or that's where you're going to have a really good Flusher. That's why I can see why he was able to have success in a bunch of different lineups with a bunch of different other players. And he was the start times, then he was in the middle, then he was at the bottom of the pack. If anything, he actually had a semi-timeless game in that regard. Although obviously when you play off intuition and feel, it can't last forever. But I think when people, because he had these amazing runs at some of the majors and really big tournaments, like even later on at Katowice, people, because they loved his style, I think they overrated him. Like, in that sense, it's going to be a bit of a scoffed analogy, but I would compare him to something like an Allen Iverson in basketball. You just love to watch him play. In football, who are we going to say for that? I'm hesitant to even say it because I'm picking an actual star that I think people will probably go too far. Maybe someone like Paul Scholes. But if I say that, everyone goes, he's the greatest midfielder. Shut up. Shut the fuck. No, he's not winning his dad or whatever. But that's my point. So anyway, on terms of skills, because he played for so long, it's also tricky. Like, early on, skills were really good. He had a lot of raw ability, even his aim. His aim wasn't that, like, everything's crazy, but it's like the headshots are just coming out of nowhere, and there'll be sort of wild spray that's like, what the fuck? And they'll pull out a pistol and just get some... Like, this guy could have... But what I always loved about Flusher at his peak, and that's why they won all the championships in 2015, was he's a big game player. This is a guy, you put him in the big match, especially when everyone else is shitting themselves and nervous, like a major. It's phenomenal. Like, I'll show you right now. This is one of the best major players ever in Counter-Strike. So this is just all the majors ever with no time applied. And understand, as I'll show you now quickly, Flusher played at all the majors from the first one through to 2019. He didn't play at the Berlin one. That's it. Like, that's it, because obviously he didn't make it to that one. He plays at them all. I'm not even picking his years. And overall, his ratings are 1.11. Like, that's very impressive. Like, yeah, obviously, I'm not a big fan of the rating itself. But even then, look, the kills are good. The deaths aren't that high. The ADR's excellent. This guy's just a stud. Then you look at the individual ones. Look at this. Look at this run right here. This is absurd. And if we go by the best ones, so that's the one he wins the MVP at. Look at these three here, all in 2014. As I told you, his best year. Look, right, first of all, look at the kills on the one he wins, by the way. Those are simple numbers at his peak, simple's peak. Then you go and look at these three. This is like prime Cold Zero numbers, except obviously the deaths might be a tiny bit lower if it's prime Cold Zero. These are bonkers numbers. These are really, really insane. Now, obviously, as I'm going to get to later, if you think he cheated, this is the year he potentially cheated in it. So, but like, never underestimate how good this guy was at majors. But my problem is your career isn't just majors. Yes, it might be the most important, but there are other tournaments and there's also else. So anyway, you get the point. So he was a phenomenal big game player. And part of the reason why is with his lurky style, he was a very clutch player. This guy has some of those bonkers clutch wins ever. He has the ones that just get in your head where it's like the first kill shouldn't even be possible because of your positioning or how you're going to catch him out, how are you going to make it a bunch of 1v1s, or how are you going to win this with two kills and two people there. Like, I always think, people underestimate how, you know, people like Zipnix, they're going to do it in a style where it's like they're going to do the right play, and that's what's intimidating. If you play against someone like Simple or Nico, they're going to outskill you. If you play against Ziwu, he's just going to do everything right and hit all the shots. If you play against Floshy, you have no idea what he's going to do. You haven't got a clue. And that is terrifying. And that's going to make you second, double, triple, quadruple guess. And maybe even just does the standard play then. Or maybe he does the most bonkers push, play, hold back. This guy was unbelievable. And obviously, famously, before Astralis became the gods of utility, individually, when they invented those utility stats, this guy individually was the god of stats. And famously, it's like nade damage was way higher. They asked him, like, oh, I saw nade damage way higher. I was like, I'll just wait till I see them there, throw the nade. Like, this guy's awareness was mega. And obviously, this is part of the problem. Because even, like, when I say I think he cheated later, I mean, like, for the first, like, in 2014 or whatever. Beyond that, I think he stopped if I do think he cheated. But he's still a very good player, a lurky, clutch style, a supportive player. Because this guy was a lurk god. Now, he was a bit more of the passive lurk if, like, Snacks is the aggressive lurk. But, like, the clip that always defines this for me, I'll try and link it here, I'll put it in the description, is the one where we're at E-League Season 1, and it was on Dust 2 against Dignitas. The way he does this play, I genuinely think, at this time period in 2016, no one else would ever play this way or go for it, and maybe even couldn't even pull it off, even if they did think that way. Like, in this clip, by the way, even though this is actually not his best year, it is bonkers his aim. Like, that shot he hits on the third guy is like, come on, man. It's really, really exceptional stuff. And that's why I always thought the genius of him wasn't that he was called Zero or Kenny S. It's the way he balanced out your team. If in your team, in the same way as Crimson Olaf, like the steady player who's the fill and does all the hard work, and then the flashy, like, superstar player who gets all the resources, he balances out JW. Because when JW does those crazy CT pushes or just goes for the non-stop flicks and fucking bullshit with, like, shotguns and everything nuts out of the box, this guy is going to do the more passive version of some crazy players, but because he's going to be a bit more passive and he's a great clutch player, he's going to shore it up, and now JW can die and you can still win the round. Now this guy can hold a sight by himself potentially at times. Like, it's the way that he synergized with his teammates I was always impressed with. And then you think of the different eras of teams he was having his success with. It was loads of different lineups. I've actually, people don't know, people think there's a lot of animosity because I made a lot of jokes. I was one of the few people who dared say I thought he cheated. I've done a reflections interview with Flusher in 2017. We've gone through a lot of this stuff. So let's get to the infamous part. Now, this is where it's kind of a shame, right? Because on the one hand, we're celebrating him. But, like, that's the way things work. You can't just not address the elephant in the room. Like, people thought he cheated, including Shox, who on stream said he thought he knew he was cheating. A bunch of players at the event, Cloud9, Hellriz, others as well, maybe another Swedish team, they thought he cheated at that major. That he had cheated, and then when he was at this DreamHack Winter Major, they made this clear, some of them publicly, some of them privately. Now everyone's put the genie back in the bottle. Now every pro claims, no, of course he didn't. And now all the fans are like, well, if he had, then why wasn't he caught? And blah, blah, and Kayleen, like, and all that jazz. All I'll say is this, I've always said it this way, I'll never say he cheated because I can't, I have no evidence of it. But I think he cheated based on circumstantial evidence of looking at the clips, and I just thought at times he was almost too good. Now what's tricky is, when you are a lurk god and a clutch player and a great player with amazing feel and ability to interpret sound cues, yes, a lot of the players you make are going to look like cheating, which is why I think he was exceptional, even when he potentially did stop cheating, if I think he cheated. But that what's tricky is, on the one hand, if you have cheats as well, like a wall hack or an aim key, it's going to make you unbeatable. And same as with people who've used wall hacks, I've heard from some of the best players ever who've used them. Like, it helps you. It trains you. If you use wall hacks, you'll be amazing at spamming walls in 1.6 years later after you stopped using the wall hack. If you use the wall hack or an aim key and you win loads of clutches thanks to it, you're going to get an amazing sense. It's almost training you of, like, where people come from in clutches, where they might be, what certain players do tendency-wise that you wouldn't know in the moment. So that's why it's such a tricky topic. It's also why it's so tough to, even if you had the evidence, well, if you had the evidence, you could say it, but it's why, even though I think it, it's hard to say still, because he had the style where, if anyone could have done that and made it look like cheats without it being, yeah, it's a complicated topic is the point. Maybe one day I'll actually go into that more. Like, the dream would obviously be I should just pull up the clips and talk about some of that. So maybe one day I'll do that. The problem I have is this. I showed you that bonkers major set of runs in 2014 when they didn't win the major, but he's unbelievable. That's when, minus the DreamHack Winter 2014, presumably, yes, he's the most brazen guy of all time. Unfortunately, I think that was when he was cheating. So my issue is, here's the biggest problem, basically. First of all, some of the clips are from majors, if you don't know. There's the one from like Katowice where he like sprays the guy, I think it was LGB or something, where he sprays the guy, maybe it was like a German team. I forget who they were playing, but it was when it was on Inferno and Panzi's commentating and he does that crazy spray onto the guy when he's going like lane side and he kills one and then it's like it locks onto the second guy and kills him in the head immediately, seemingly without Fusher aiming on it as he's heading towards the pit while moving and strafing. And then in the quarters of the Cologne major, they play Fnatic, and because of the randomizer, where you can only take one map out and you can randomize any map in, well, Fnatic and Na'Vi both hated Nuke, but Nuke gets drawn as the third map, and Fnatic Fnatic wins this 16-14. And I think even on the last round and on two or three rounds in this game, there's a couple of clutches that just looked sus to me. Like the way he moved and looked, to me, it beggared belief. But even so, the problem I always had was we could never get any closure. There was never any resolution on this. And seemingly he stopped doing it as well, quite frankly, because all excuse, especially from the famous clip on Dust 2 against Na'Vi, where he moved along and it suddenly shot through the unshootable box against Seized, was... They claim, well, it was a sound cue, and then because he had his, like, you know, his keyboard on his mouse pad, he had his mouse too close, it knocked into it, and that's what made it stop, and then clicked the button and fired. My problem with that was, to me, you don't change that style overnight. That'd be a very hard style of mousing to change. Most people have the same mousing style and setup of their mouse and the keyboard and sense for most of their career. Like, I think, to me, you would have done that a lot in your career. There'd be a billion clips of you doing it. Like, you keep doing it for 3-4 years afterwards. So, famously, I always told them, one, if that is just a legit alibi, he just does it quite often. He said it was something that would happen to him. Then, hopefully, it should happen more. That would be actually plausible, believe it or not, rather than if it happens less. And then I always said this. To me, way ahead of Rops, you could have actually sorted this problem out. What you should do is, when all the DreamHack winter speculation was going, I told this, by the way, to people like Carl and Devwalk, to their face at the major, I would have sent him to the face-it offices, have them set up a PC that they've touched completely with all of Flusher's like bought equipment, but not his equipment. And they set all his mouse up and they watch him so he can't download from the workshop or do something dodgy with a thumb drive. And they just tell him, we're going to have you just stream a day of pogs and online games and matchmaking and we'll do it for charity. And the aim, I'm being serious now, is you should just play normally. And at the end of that session, let's say you can get 10 games in, 20 games in, we'll just go through the demos, and there should be a whole bunch that look like aim keys and aim locks. And if there are, we know you don't have an aim key or a wall hack on this machine, so it'll actually show that is your style of play and your intuitive feel for the game, and you haven't got anything installed on the PC, and that's you. That is just what happens. I always said I thought that would be a genius sort of lateral thinking way to show that you didn't cheat. But of course, you don't have to do that, do you? You can just go, well, I don't care, and just keep playing. So no one ever did anything like that. So we'll never know if he did or didn't. And since there's no evidence, and we'll never have any evidence, yeah, we'll never know, will we? That's just the way it is. With all that said, even if I think he did in 2014, a fabulous career beyond that, he had a very long career as well, and he still maintained those things of winning clutches and doing lurks and being a big game player late into his career when his individual skills nowhere near as good, when he's not as good, his teams aren't as good. So what a phenomenal career. I'd have to say hats off for an amazing career. Even if he cheated, hats off for getting away with it in a fucked up way. It's almost like a heist movie, isn't it? Like, if you get away with it, fair fucks. Like, I got a hate on that to some degree, and I'll never know for sure. So he was one of the best players of all time. Now, if we're going like top 10, top 20, top 30. For me, he'd probably be one of those people who like cracks the top 20, which is such sacrilege. Some people probably have him top 10. But for me, there was better players on his teams at times. And like I say, because he's a big game player, sometimes in the normal tournaments, like the ones that are just like 250k, but it's not like the major, sometimes it's just all right. Yeah. So for me, very good player. Now, if you want a different first-time promotion on eSports Bet, how about their risk-free first-time bet? You can place a bet with a stake, in terms of what you'll get returned, anywhere up to 100 USDT. If you lose the bet, go to the ModMill or the customer support on the website, ModMill on the Discord. Tell them that you did the risk-free first-time bet, and they'll credit your account with the original stake. I'd suggest put it on an underdog, much as Fnatic beat NIP at DreamHack Winter 2013. Then, if you'd have bet on the underdog, if you lose, you get the money back anyway. And if you win, you get the multiplier, don't you? For many years of my career in esports, it really was just me. I did it all. I was the one person driving myself forwards. I didn't have people around me to help me. But actually, one thing I've learned over the years is the value of a support network. And mine is, of course, the Skrilluminati, my Patreon community. So this video, like many on my channel, was made possible by Ahmed Hajj, 2, Frisky, Matt Pugnaccio Rakula, Animosity, Bot Pounder 420, Jensen Gore, Tobias Bernasconi, Tosh, Toucan, and as always, you know it, a special thanks goes out to Jerky's Minion. Would you like to suggest a topic or a guest for my content? Do you want to ask a question for my regular AMA? Do you want to find out teasers? Who are the guests for the upcoming interviews? I often do. Maybe you want to be part of those long discussions where we can talk about whatever you want in esports. Well, if any of those tickle your fancy, put your money where your mouth is and join the Scaluminati today. Support my content via the Patreon link in the description box below.